Let's prepare our minds to remember Jesus and His sacrifice as we participate in this memorial to honor and glorify Him. I had prepared remarks this morning, and based on our worship, based on our opening prayer that Trent led us in on the nature of God, and our preacher's lesson on drawing near to God little by little, I feel compelled to add to these remarks that we have to understand not just what we are doing, but why. Why we remember Jesus' death on the cross. He commanded us to do it. But even more than that, out of a love and a respect and a glory to honor our Lord and Savior, why was it necessary that He had to die? And then on to my lesson, did God the Father turn His face away when Jesus died on the cross? So I did not coordinate with Trent this morning, but I want to talk just briefly about the nature of God the Father. Because I believe we can come into this place of worship. And we can go through the five acts of worship. And we know what we are doing. But when we begin to understand who our God is and why He developed the plan that He developed for Jesus to die on the cross, I believe then we're going to participate in this memorial in every aspect of our worship and better pour out our spirits before the Lord. And that should be our endeavor. As Jason said, that we would draw nearer to God as we walk in newness of life. And we would get closer and closer. And when we fall short, we get up, we repent, we endeavor to perfect holiness. And we continue to chase after Jesus. I hope you know the answer to the question that I want to talk about today before I even present to you what the Scriptures say about it. Did God the Father turn His face away when Jesus died on the cross? And I requested the song that we just sang prior to this because it has that statement that the Father turned His face away. What does the Bible tell us about what God was feeling, or whether or not God approved of what happened and how God proceeded when Jesus died on the cross? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2 tells us to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. When I read that, I consider how the sacrifices in the Old Testament, we read on occasion, came up before the Lord when He approved of them. When the people were obedient and they offered the sacrifices in a worthy manner, with their spirits, with love, with their best, their all. And those sacrifices came up before God as a sweet smelling aroma. But Ephesians 5:2 just told us that when Jesus died on the cross, it came up before our Father as a sweet-smelling aroma. Now just imagine how sweet-smelling that was to our God. How much He approved of Jesus dying on the cross. Philippians 2:8 tells us that being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. So we see from these two verses only that God the Father was pleased with the obedience of His Son. And we know that in general, God the Father was pleased because we read in Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Now, if you go back to that original Hebrew word of the word pleased, it means to take pleasure in, to delight. And as we honor Jesus in this memorial, and in our daily lives, how could this be? How could it be that God the Father delighted in what we as humans consider a lot of pain and suffering, in bearing our sins, not just the physical suffering, but even more so the spiritual suffering that Jesus alone took on, He Himself? How could this be? I think it's good for us to warn ourselves occasionally that we had better be careful about humanizing God. You see, what people tend to do these days is they bring God down and try to put God on their level. And they try to humanize our God. And that's wrong. We don't bring God down to our level. We've got to rise up and try to understand God on His level as best we can. We can't humanize God. But God the Father sustained His Son on the cross. Psalm 22:24 tells us, "For He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has He hidden His face from him. But when he cried to Him, He heard." And to better understand this is Trent's prayer this morning about the nature of God. I firmly believe that when people ask us what we do in worship, that we can't fully comprehend and give our all in our spirits in worship to God unless we understand why we are doing what we're doing. Unless we understand who our God is from what He's revealed to us from the Scriptures. I once completed an exercise where from Genesis all the way up to the book of Esther, where God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther, I wrote down everything you could learn about God the Father. And to that point, before I stopped, it was 32 pages. Now I know why God gave us the Old Testament. Because when we understand the Father, we're going to better appreciate Jesus and the sacrifice and why God the Father made it so. God is a God of love, of justice, and righteousness. We need to remember that. Jeremiah 9:23-24 tells us, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." So Jesus' obedience and death on the cross ensured the Father delighted in love and justice and righteousness. So let me ask you again. Did the Father turn His face away when Jesus died on the cross? The Scriptures don't tell us that He did. Now, I don't want to ruin that hymn for you. That is one of my favorite hymns. I sing that each week, and I listen to that a cappella version hundreds of times a week. So how can we understand that verse? I think perhaps the Father turned His face away, and how deep the Father's love is a metaphor. Because it appeared that God may have turned His face away, but God didn't. He held steadfast to Jesus on the cross. And He displayed His love and His justice and His righteousness. So how can we understand these things and put these things that I've shared with you in context today? I'd ask you to remember this, and it will sum up what I've just spoken to you. God in His wisdom devised a way for the love of God to satisfy the wrath of God without compromising the justice of God. Now, how much more does this memorial mean to us today? Because Jesus perfectly kept the Father's will and did not compromise His nature. And that statement to me is so brilliant when we read about our God. What wisdom that God did not compromise Himself. Jesus did not compromise Himself. But He devised a plan that would still allow us in this imperfect body to enjoy God's nature someday in eternity because of what Jesus has done. If we will diligently seek, and as Jason said this morning, diligently. Is there any other way? Is there any other way to understand what Jesus has done for us than to seek Him first? To seek with all your might, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, to understand just exactly what this memorial means to us. And pouring out our spirits, worshiping in spirit, in a way that God would approve and accept us gathering around this table to remember the death of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.